Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the Easter Day Massacre. The spree killer, James Rupert, gunned down 11 of his relatives back in an Easter Sunday back in 1975 in Hamilton, Ohio, which is near here, Cincinnati. We're going to talk about all his dastardly deeds, but before we do, let me introduce the panel. We are pleased today to have with us again the man, Casey. How's it going, Casey?
Going good, Tim. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, I just got an alert on my phone a little bit ago. Have you guys heard about this Colin Kaepernick deal? I'm sure you guys have heard about it.
I have.
And yes. It's kind of being a dirtbag. So he just got traded to the Japanese Football League. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
So he got traded to the Japanese Football League, but he's over there. He's going to be like one of the biggest guys on the field. So they're actually going to play him under center. But his new quarterback's name is Fister Miyagi. So we want to send congratulations and good luck to Colin Kaepernick.
Now you know,
Japan Football League.
And here's my problem with this. Now you know the Colonel, a patriotic man.
Sure.
Yes, after the war.
Yeah.
Nam.
But why I got to stand
WW1.
Up?
WW1.
Now I got a bunch of guys playing a baseball game or a football game. They ain't playing for country. They ain't playing for love. They're playing for money. Mm-hmm. What's so goddamn patriotic about that?
It's the American way.
When you at home, now tell me this. When you at home and the football game comes on, do you stand up when the national anthem comes on?
Okay, first of all, football doesn't come on.
I do when I'm at the stadium.
At the stadium. But when you're at home. And I had this disagreement with the person.
You have not been introduced yet. You really haven't. You're not here.
Okay, well,
you are
still
persona
talking.
Persona non grata.
I've been a little stressed today.
Yeah, you have.
But
you forgot your anniversary.
Here's my point. Yeah, I did forget today is my anniversary, and I forgot about it.
Happy anniversary, Renee.
For 20 minutes this
morning. Or condolences, whatever.
But anyway, I had to tell a guy that the national anthem is not paying our respects to those who lost their lives. It's paying respects to the flag, to the country. Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with people. We have Veterans Day, Memorial Day for that. And secondly, how did veterans take over Memorial Day? I'm not really
sure
about that.
Why are you saying words?
But I'm just saying, why we got to play the damn national anthem at every baseball game and football game?
Tradition.
It makes no sense to me.
Tradition.
It makes no sense to me at all.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like it's a big patriotic event. If you're going to do it before fireworks, if you're going to do it before whatever.
I did a sore subject.
I'm just saying, I don't get it.
Okay, you ungrateful bastard. Let's introduce Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm
good.
Hold on, how you skip right over me?
I'm going to come back to you. You're last.
I'm up to you.
I'm well, Timmy. How are you?
I'm fine. And we are also joined by the very argumentative. And
I think we strip his title of Colonel.
I just thought it was a funny joke.
The Reverend Colonel.
I got busted down to Lieutenant.
The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Don't, just one word answer.
Today's been bad, Timmy. Today's been bad. I got people on me.
Cranky.
Well, it's my, like I said, it's my anniversary. I forgot all about my anniversary. And
did you forget you were married?
See, you know, it's 29 years. Mm-hmm. 29 years. Now, think about what you got
to
do
to
get 29 years in prison. You got to commit some serious
You've
offenses.
You've committed some serious shit. You were an asshole in a previous life, and it has spilled over.
Apparently, I was worse than Rupert here in a previous life.
Today's my anniversary, too. I've been working here for 28 years.
Really? So you started, so on my one-year anniversary, you got a job here.
Yes. Yes,
congratulations.
Thank you, too.
I hope it's gone smoother for you than it has for me.
No, because look where he's at. He's sitting here with us.
That's right.
Okay.
So anyway, those are my two biggest beefs right here. I think Colin Kaepernick, yes, you should have just stand your ass up. It ain't a big deal. But secondly, why you gotta bug me with the? And here's my point.
Colonel,
here's my point.
When I get to you ever the been, story, it's
I
a very
understand
long story.
That, but I got something that's just
profound?
Stuck in my crawl here. You ever been to a Bengals Steelers game?
If I kick you in the head, will it come unstuck?
Yeah, probably.
People talk about respect for country, respect for. Okay, what are around you at the football game? Other
bunch of assholes normally at an
drunk,
NFL game.
Other countrymen.
Drunk rock.
Yeah, the other countrymen. And once that game starts, after they stand up and do the national anthem, they don't show a damn bit of respect for the fellow countrymen at all. Everybody's an asshole, a douchebag, a loser, a drunk. They're all drunks. And I don't even go to football games anymore because of it. You can't show respect to your kids. You can't show respect to your wife. You can't show respect to the people sitting next to you. But you're offended because somebody don't stand up and show respect to an inanimate object. You know what?
We're in awful close quarters for that much hot air.
I'm just a little perturbed by the hypocrisy. You know I don't like hypocrisy.
Yeah, we know that.
I do not like hypocrisy.
I just thought
it was a funny joke.
I would like to give a shout out to our sponsors on Patreon, and that is Alicia, Chip, Jahara, Bridget, and who knows? Cindy Lou, of course.
Stephanie.
Cindy Lou. And we'd like to thank you for sponsoring us on Patreon. If you would like to sponsor us, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs.
Aren't we sponsored by Nut Milk this week?
We are sponsored by Nut Milk.
No, we want to thank those who are actually paying money for
You know what you can make with Nut Milk? If you turn it good, if you can turn it long enough, you can make
cheese.
It into nut butter.
Nut butter.
Turn it into nut butter.
You can get some good nut cheese out of that.
That's right.
Okay, so let's get into the story.
Timmy, you seem a little cranky.
I want to get into the story.
Why didn't you get into the story? We've been waiting around.
March 30th.
Picture it.
March 30th, 1975.
Okay.
The year the Reds won the World Series.
It was a wonderful year. I remember that year.
That Easter was
rough. I believe they were a better team next year.
I was 14 years old. The Reds were probably playing down in Florida with their green hats.
I was 13.
I was 5.
The green hats would have been for St. Patrick's
Day. I wasn't a stain in our parents' sheets yet.
So, March 30th, 1975, James Rupert gunned down 11 relatives.
And who hasn't really
who hasn't
thought about
wanted
that?
To do that?
Who has thought about that at
an Easter gathering in his family home in Hamilton, Ohio, which is close to here, just north of Cincinnati. James Urban Rupert, I guess.
That's an hell of a name.
Yeah. James Urban was born on March 29th, so this was the day after his birthday this occurred.
Son of a bitch.
He must have liked his gift.
Must be his birthday present to himself.
His gifts suck. I'm going to show you sons of bitches.
He was born on March 29th, 1934 in Hamilton, Ohio.
Buy me a tie again.
Somebody got him a black suit.
One more fucking sweater.
When he was a young boy, the Ruperts lived in a long barn-like structure that lacked indoor plumbing and running water.
Because they were in Hamilton.
Yeah.
His father raised chickens in the rear of the house. At least he didn't raise them inside the house.
In the rear of the house?
Back of the house. At this same time in his life, James began to suffer from asthma.
Because he was breathing in chicken shit.
Yeah, allergies and feathers and shit. Which left him to be a sickly boy. And limited many of his physical activities for the rest of his childhood. He simply just could not keep up with children his own age. He was hunched over from his illness, so sickly that he was not permitted to take gym at school or play sports with the neighborhood kids. So he's the kid, you know.
He's the boy in the bubble.
Without the bubble.
He sits on one of those little sits on one of those little metal chairs during the gym class.
And just watches everyone. That's sad.
Breathes heavy.
But he's still got to get dressed.
Yeah.
Got to wear gym clothes.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah. So
we used to make fun of those kids.
He was regarded as a sissy by other kids in his neighborhood, so he was picked on at school. He was shy, introverted. He was routinely teased by other children, had very few, if any, friends. So far, he's sounding pretty much like you.
Children can be losers.
Colonel over here.
I was a fine kid. I never got picked on.
Until his junior year in high school, he remained pretty much a loner, avoiding school activities, rarely attending ball games or going to dances, and never dating girls.
Well, who wants to date the Weezer?
His mother was frustrated. She wanted him to be a girl and would often dress him as a girl when he was a young child.
Did she make him tuck it in? Tuck it behind his legs.
I bet. Duct tape that shit down.
Oh, yeah.
The events of his childhood had a lasting effect on him because he was impotent. He was never able to have sexual relations with any woman.
Once it's taped down for so long, you lose feeling.
Well, I guess he was able to masturbate, but that was it.
Now, see, I don't understand that.
Yeah, was he...
Was he pounding a squishy, or what was he doing?
It's floppy.
Was he hitting a floppy?
And I guess he was.
Hitting the floppy.
Yeah. It's all in his head, though. So, you know, maybe sex with his hand was not as forbidden.
Maybe.
Didn't she insist that he was a homosexual?
Yeah. He didn't. His father did not have a lot of confidence in him. He had a brother that was kind of the favorite. And we'll talk more about him as we go.
We know how that is.
Yeah.
I've heard that story.
But,
I lived that story.
We know how that is.
Yeah.
Father didn't have a whole lot of confidence with the other brother the favorite.
Got another brother that's a favorite.
But you know what? It doesn't turn out too well for the other brother in his story.
Jason's day is coming.
Rupert thought his father had no confidence in him, recalling his father's warnings that he would not be capable of holding a job or supporting himself as an adult. His father was confident, however, that he would turn out to be a homosexual.
Homosexual?
Hold on for 1 second.
So when he came out as not gay, did that not go over well?
Casey's over here crying. I don't know if this is hitting too close to home for the man.
Squeaky shoes over there.
So far, this is the story of your life.
When he was 36 years old, his father was 36 years old. He died of complications of
the consumption.
The consumption, tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty. That's 75.
That's rough.
Yeah, shit should have been gone by then.
Well, you think it's in Hamilton though?
Yeah,
they didn't have
it was
Western
all those
medicine.
Chickens.
They didn't have Western medicine. Yeah. It's in Hamilton.
James was only 12 years old when that happened, and it forced him to take on some more adult responsibilities. Though his mother still referred to him as incompetent.
The incompetent gay kid.
The impotent
doesn't even know what his sexuality is.
Rupert claims that his mother did not like him, and she would often beat and taunt. She would often beat and taunt him, and would encourage his brother Leonard to do the
same. I think he's got a leg to stand on there.
Leonard was his older brother. Leonard was Leonard the third. His dad was Leonard Junior. from James's viewpoint, his mother made it very clear to him that his presence was a mistake, that she wanted a girl, not a boy, and she would, like I said, often dress him in girl's clothes.
You know, you're going to create problems for a child when you just dress them up like a girl when they're little.
Well, unless they're a girl.
Yeah, clearly.
Then it's okay.
Hey, have you seen those Captain Obvious commercials?
What happens next, Casey?
At the age of 16, things at home got so bad that Rupert ran away and attempted suicide by hanging himself with a sheet.
Well, I guess it didn't work because he's incompetent.
It did not work, though.
But now let me tell you what. He becomes very competent later on.
Well, loser.
So though that attempt failed, the thought of suicide was something that stayed with Rupert for decades to come. Rupert's mother showed love to her older son, who became a constant reminder to James of his own
inadequacies. Yeah, that guy has balls. Well, that guy's able to give her grandkids. Right. Really, James is not.
But here's what I don't understand, though. If he's an absolute incompetent bastard, then it says here that Leonard was made the head of the household after his father, after their father's death.
Well, that wasn't. That's why not wouldn't
that's the older brother?
That's why the older brother.
Yeah, Leonard was the older brother.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got confused. James is the incompetent bastard. My bad.
Leonard is tall and athletic. And
we're not saying that he's sleeping with his mother. And we're not saying that, right? We're not saying
James. James is this little. No, his mother don't like him, so she wouldn't sleep.
No, Leonard.
No, we're talking about Leonard.
No.
Leonard could get wood.
Yeah, Leonard was kind of the man.
Leonard
could
lay pipe.
Yeah. All right, so sorry about that. Leonard became the head of the household, and James always felt like an outcast in his own family. James was very conscious of being 5 inches shorter than his brother.
Damn, was he a midget?
He should have put on heels.
Yeah.
I wonder how close he was when he had heels. Maybe that's why his mom did it.
Yeah.
James' math and science teachers always compared him with his older brothers, whose grades in the same classes had been superior. Leonard graduated from night school with a degree in electrical engineering, whereas James flunked out of college 2 years later.
So James really is a fuck up. Like, after, his mother wasn't that
after
far
2 years.
Off.
Yeah, really. So they're really not that far off.
Yeah.
Leonard became a successful engineer with General Electric. James went from job to job. Leonard was happily married with 8 children. Jeez, holy he could
shit.
Get wood.
Yeah, he was lame.
He was overcompensating.
Were they with his mother?
No, he was married.
He was married.
James never married, was jilted by his only fiance, and continued to live with his mom.
Well, yeah, there he was jilted.
Who was he married to? Who was Leonard married to?
I hadn't got there yet.
Okay, you will.
Okay. James had dated the woman who his brother would later marry and had even introduced them to one another.
So his brother stole his girlfriend.
Hey, you know that girl you couldn't get wood with? I'm laying
busting
it now.
That. I'm busting that. At least 8 times.
God.
By his own standards,
James. So, wait. I mean, they're just making it too easy for this guy. He got his mom in the house. He got his brother in the house. He got his ex-girlfriend in the house. I mean,
I'm not saying, but maybe he had legitimate reasons.
That's what I'm saying. They're making it too easy for him.
He had some grievances, I'd say that.
By his own standards, James was as much of a failure as his brother Leonard was a success. To make matters worse, Leonard was, at least in his younger brother's mind, a vicious sadist and torturer in the world. In a word, he was the enemy. Going back to early childhood, James still remembered his brother locking him in closets, tying him with rope, beating him with a hose, and sitting on his head until he screamed out loud.
I did that to you guys, though.
And you know, when he was in gym class, those kids were locking him in the locker.
Oh, yeah, he got stuffed in more lockers, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's one of those poor kids that they seen how many pencils could fit in his butt.
Yeah.
I hate that game. You read about that story.
I mean, this kid, well, he really does look, if you see, we saw his picture, he looks like something from Body from Revenge of the Nerds or mm-hmm. something.
The image only worsened over time, and by James's 30th birthday, he was just beginning to see Leonard as the executioner, as a major figure in what he believed to be an emerging conspiracy against him. The paranoia really escalated.
Emerging?
I'm not so sure it's paranoia either.
Yeah, it's really not paranoia.
Yeah, are you paranoid if it's true? Come on.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean there's no one, someone out to get you.
The paranoia really escalated in 1965 when the Hamilton Police Department determined that James had made an obscene phone call to an employee of the local public library where James spent most of his free time.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, he can't even call someone out of the Yellow Pages. He has to call the library.
They got all those Kama Sutra books in there. Maybe he was thinking he'd get something cool.
Yes, you know. And maybe he liked the librarian type.
So he admitted
the librarian
type. Oh, yeah. Hot, yeah.
Yeah, just take some glasses off and shake your
hair. I love
your
glasses.
And then underneath, you got stockings in there.
Yeah, the dirty garters.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know what that's like, right? So, although admitting...
You wear glasses, though?
I do.
No, she was fantasizing about the librarian. So I was. She knows that. She knows that one.
No. Burn her lesbian days.
Yeah. Yeah. Just when she played softball. Also, he admitted to making the phone call. James was convinced that his mother and brother were attempting to discredit him by informing everyone of his transgressions and reporting to the FBI that he was a communist and a homosexual.
According to the FBI, even.
A gay communist. Well, sure it wasn't very
so can you imagine,
where, 1965.
That's where the term pinko commie came from.
So can you imagine Alice calling and being like, hey, my kid, he's a gay communist, FBI, come find him.
You know what, I'm not saying she hasn't done it.
Hey, Mr. Hoover, I've got this gay communist kid here.
God.
All right.
He also believed that the FBI was taping his telephone, or was tapping his telephone.
Because they had nothing better else to do.
No.
Right. Not only at home.
Get this hick in Hamilton.
But also in the restaurants and bars that he happened to visit.
Oh, absolutely.
I wonder what kind of bars he was going to.
Not gay bars.
Not in Hamilton, 1965.
Over the years, he felt the intrusion of the FBI into his personal life, he felt, continued to grow and grow.
So did he wear a foil hat?
So he was starting to get more paranoid.
Yeah.
Did he wear a foil hat?
Yes, he did.
Sweet.
Chuck will talk about that later. Other groups were also implicated by Rupert in the plot to sabotage his career, his social contacts, and his car, he felt was being...
Yeah.
So
his car was being vandalized, too.
His brother was fucking with his car.
Sabotage.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, he thought people were screwing with
NSA,
him.
NSA,
did he have a Pinto?
Yes.
Or a Gremlin?
In my mind, he does. Yeah. It couldn't be a cool car.
No way
he had a van.
Yeah.
He had a bike. Let's just.
He had a moped. That's back when the mopeds came out.
Car is another word for bike.
You know, moped's like a fat lady. You don't want anybody to ever see you ride one.
Wow.
Okay there, Chuck.
That was a good one. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be bold enough to say that out loud.
Oh, wow.
Because I've climbed my share of mountains in my day.
He rode a few mopeds.
I've ridden a few mopeds.
Wow. So proud.
You get good mileage out of those.
They're built for comfort, not for speed.
If you run out of gas, you can just pedal manually. Perfect vehicle.
Does Tim seem a little out of sorts to you today?
I don't even know where I'm at now. Okay. All right. By itself, his odd paranoia and frustrations aren't enough to explain Rupert's criminal behavior. I'm not really sure why. He must have had access to an effective weapon of mass destruction, a means of eliminating 11 people at once. That's why Rupert's long-standing love affair with handguns is important to consider. So he's went and got him a piece.
Yeah, he had a
he was a little arsenal on.
He was a gun lover.
So he was a gun lover. They represented to him a manly activity that only that had been denied him as a sickly child with asthma, while other boys expressed their masculinity through competitive sports.
And actually having sex with girls.
Right.
That'll be
why
that's
he was wearing dresses.
That's a big part of the manliness.
Yeah. Walking around the floppy.
So he became an avid gun collector. He passed his leisure time.
Oh, if you're still alive, you better be a little nice to him. If he ever gets out on parole, I'm not going to be nice.
He passed his leisure time alone on the banks of the Great Miami River, walking tin cans along the ground.
Kicking. It's probably kicking.
It says walking tin cans along the ground with his pistols. Not really sure what that
shooting
means.
Them. Walking them along the ground. Shooting
them.
Dance.
I got
dance.
You now.
Yeah, dance, bitch. There you go.
Like Yosemite Sam. He was like Yosemite Sam.
Not Yosemite Sam. What is it? Yosemite?
Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, except for he couldn't get a raging hard on like
you. Or can you just picture Yosemite Sam with a big raging heart on?
I'm picturing Yosemite Sam in a whorehouse.
Mexican
brawl.
Shooting the place up.
Take that one. Come on, baby.
Shooting the ceiling.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm going to get a facial from Yosemite.
probably seemed like, you know, he's doing a woman doggy style, and he's shooting his gun, and right, he's doing.
Yeah. Okay, as recently as 2 days.
Eureka!
I'm trying to keep this above level.
Yeah, you lost.
Think it was just Mexican prostitutes that he banged, or.
No, yeah. He was back in the cowboy and Indian days.
Elmer Fudd had a gun.
Yeah.
This guy's like Elmer Fudd, pretty much. The guy that we're doing here.
Yes.
But you know Elmer Fudd, he was.
Well, he had that horrible speech impediment.
And he wasn't walking around with nothing but a floppy.
Oh, no. No, but he hunted a lot.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so as recently as 2 days before the Easter Sunday massacre, witnesses recalled seeing Rupert by the river, where he repeatedly was firing his .357 Magnum revolver at tin cans. A local gun store employee claimed that a month or two before the Easter killings, Rupert had asked him where he could obtain a gun silencer. Hey, was it a dildo silencer? Yeah. From the last time I was here?
With the big guy? This comes back to me important later on when it gets to the trial, because he stood after these killings. If he was found not guilty for reason of insanity, he stood to get inherit $300,000. So the practicing, the silencer, and all that stuff played to, you know, the fact that this was planned.
The implication was clear enough. Rupert may have been planning for some time to eliminate the members of his family. Though Rupert had endured a frustrating childhood and had access to guns, his crime depended on the operation of certain triggering events. In general, the triggering events may occur over a period of weeks or even months before a murder, or they may occur immediately prior to it. In a number of family mass murders, the killer had given up trying to find a job and was deeply depressed about it. In other cases, a husband killed all the members of his family upon learning that his wife intended to obtain a divorce, or shortly after the separation had actually occurred.
So this triggers.
So there's going to be something that triggers this whole thing to go down.
Yes.
What would that trigger be, Devil?
Well, tell us some more, Brandy.
Okay.
I'm enthralled with this case.
I can tell. Family members are frequently loners. Family killers, sorry, our family members. But family killers are frequently loners who depend almost exclusively on the family to satisfy.
Well, they're definitely loners after they kill their family. Yeah.
Well, right.
You know, and
by definition.
The suspect tried to say in court he was an orphan, so they should have mercy on him.
That's true. But they depend almost exclusively on the family to satisfy their emotional needs. The threat of separation by family members is a particularly painful and threatening event. In Whoopit's case, triggering...
So you kill them? You're afraid to be without them, so you kill them?
Well, then, you know, then they hang out all the time.
Yeah, if you're Dahmer,
you just eat them and they're part of you.
In Rupert's case, the triggering mechanism consisted of certain precipitating events which, just prior to Easter Sunday, served to magnify the intensity of his negative feelings and to separate him further psychologically from others in his family. That's a hell of a paragraph.
It sounds like he was like a ticking time bomb anyway after years of abuse.
Well, the testimony of Wanda Bishop, a 28-year-old mother of five, Jesus, find a hobby, who was separated from her husband and frequently met James Rupert at her place of employment, the 19th Hole Cocktail Lounge, said shed some light.
There's a place called 19th Hole, a bar called the 19th Hole downtown.
No.
Yeah, on Main Street. I didn't know that. I went by it the other day.
It's a, you know.
No, what is it?
It's a
gay club?
Alternate lifestyle.
Oh, is it?
Bar.
Gay club.
The 19th Hole.
Usually they have one at like a golf club, you know. Like
Yeah.
The 19th hole.
I just remember the.
Yeah, there's no golf courses downtown.
Okay. No.
It's an alternate lifestyle.
It's an underground golf course. Miss Bishop told the court about their meeting at the 19th hole bar on the evening before the shootings. Rupert talked about his financial troubles, his unemployment, and his family. He had a problem which had to be taken care of immediately. His mother had told him that if he could drink 7 days a week, he could pay rent. Otherwise,
they're mutually exclusive.
Yeah, they are. How are you going to get a job?
She sounds like a hard ass.
No, how are you going to, if you're drunk?
Well, the guy is like 35 at this point.
How are you going to get a job? I mean,
or how are you going to drink if you get a job?
Yeah, no, I can't get a job and drink 7 days a week. That's what I
mean. The mom wanted him to drink 7 days a week?
No.
No, he'd been drinking 7 days a week.
Oh, he'd been drinking.
You can drink 7 days a week. You can pay rent.
I got you.
See, well, where was he getting his money to drink then? He got no job.
He probably was
getting a job.
He got shit to do.
He's probably getting the Social Security.
It's Friday. You ain't got no job.
How you gonna get fired on your day off?
Do you get fired?
I don't think you even
stealing look boxes.
I don't even think you're looking for no job.
Stealing boxes. What's wrong with you?
All right. Ms. Bishop testified that Rupert left the bar at 11 p.m. only to return later. When she asked him whether he'd taken care of his problems, so he answered,
"This would have been his birthday.
He was out partying.
Yeah, the day before.
So throw him a bone here." Mm-hmm. But she asked him whether he'd taken care of his problems. He answered, "Nope, not yet," and stayed at the bar until 2:30 when it closed. Notwithstanding his hostile feelings, Rupert nonetheless depended heavily on his family for both emotional and economic support, and their yearly reunion was special to him.
You can tell he gets a lot of emotional support from his family. His mom and brother seem to be
very nice to him.
Yeah.
All right. Very supportive. Their yearly reunion was very special to him.
I'm sure it was.
But on Easter Sunday of 1975, that was all going to be different. Rupert was on the verge of eviction, and his mother had been ill, so his brother's family came late in the day. And it started out happily enough. Shortly after arriving, the members of Leonard Rupert's family gathered together on the front lawn where they had an Easter egg hunt. Then they all went into the house for the yearly family reunion and dinner. Everyone mingled in the living room and kitchen, everyone that is, except Uncle James, who was on the second floor of the house making his final preparations. Charity Rupert was fixing sandwiches at the kitchen range, while Leonard and his wife, who the fuck's Charity Rupert?
That's his mom.
Okay.
She, bitch making sandwiches on Easter?
Fixing with ham sandwich. What do you want?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
How do you expect me to eat? If my mom's not going to make it, how am I going to eat?
Might be a ham salad.
I mean, I get it.
Let's see. While Leonard and his wife, Alma, sat at the kitchen table. Their youngest child was in the bathroom. One of their daughters stood waiting her turn by the bathroom door, and the other six kids were out playing in the yard.
Now, Alma has had eight kids by now, so I'm assuming she's hit the wall at this point. So, Rupert, I mean, James is really coming out ahead at this point.
She got the labia majora
at
that point. Those things dangling like...
He probably not.
That eighth kid slid out. Right.
Even if he could, even if he walked out.
Yeah, walked out. Hello, my baby.
Even if he could get it up, he probably wouldn't want to bang her at this point.
Well, hell, be like throwing a hot dog down on her.
Well, is she 40 at this point?
No.
It's not a man.
No, she's probably 23.
It's not a man.
I don't know.
And say if she's 40, we all know what that means, Chuck.
Yeah. Okay, so his brother, his wife, their eight kids are all...
They're all at the house.
Yeah, and then mom.
So Jimmy spent the afternoon upstairs asleep.
Well,
he's
hungover.
Mm-hmm. He's got a rest. He's hungover. Sure.
He drinks 7 days a week.
At 4 p.m., he woke up.
Getting up at the crack of dawn.
He woke up, went downstairs. Well, it's not like he's getting up for a job.
I can do this at any point.
why
rush it?
Right.
Let's see. He went downstairs where he chatted with his brother about politics and the stock market, and watched his nieces and nephews as they gathered Easter eggs.
The fuck's he talking about the stock market for?
I don't know.
He might as well be talking about the space.
Well, he's hoping to maybe get a little inheritance here before too.
Right. So where do you...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think I should invest. So, get ready to come into some money.
So theoretically, how much money?
I'm going to be living on the street here next week. But
are you worth?
Let's see. After spending a few minutes with the family, Rupert said he was going to go target shooting. And nobody, gave a shit.
I wish that boy find a job.
And nobody, not that anyone cares. That's who he is. Not that anyone cares.
They're going to care here in a minute.
You know, they're talking about him as soon as he walks out the door.
Oh, that's what we do.
All he does is drink.
Shoot beer cans.
So he went back upstairs, collected three pistols and a rifle, and came back down to the first floor where his family was gathered. As he walked through the kitchen, still in a state of apparent calm, his brother asked him with a mocking smile, "How's your Volkswagen, Jimmy?"
Oh, no, he didn't.
That motherfucker needed to be popped.
I mean,
asking about a fucker's Volkswagen.
Because that's back in the days when you had a Volkswagen, you was poor.
Well, and, you know, the Passat. I mean, that's a hot car.
But is that what he had, a Passat?
I don't know, it's a Volkswagen.
Continue.
He didn't have Passat in 1975.
Because there's a reason why he's asking.
He should have looked back at his brother and said, "How's that floppy vagina?
Floppy twat going?
How's that floppy twatter going that you're hanging out with on a nightly basis?"
You did.
Can you even hit the sides on that son of a bitch anymore?
Leonard would have come back with, "It's as floppy as that dead thing between your legs, you bastard." All right.
This sounds like some fights we've had at our house, friend.
It really does. Rupert believed his brother had been trying for several months to sabotage his Volkswagen. Fucker.
The guy's got his girlfriend. He's got a job. He's got a college education. He's working at GE. He's got this huge
family.
And
what he wants to do is screw around with his kid's Volkswagen.
Yeah. And Volkswagen only got three parts on it. You only got to take one to fuck it up.
So he was convinced that Leonard had gotten into the crankcase. Well, I hate when that happens. And had purposely destroyed the carburetor and the distributor. Had sabotaged the windshield wipers. Loosened the bumper and blown holes in the muffler.
And you might not think a lot of a Volkswagen, but when Mama kicks him out, this is his house.
And that's,
you mess with a man's home.
Don't mess with a man's home.
Okay, no.
Okay, so what happens next?
I don't know. So he thinks that his very successful brother is just taking the time out of his day to fuck with him. Thus, Leonard's apparent innocuous question precipitated an entire surge of thoughts, memories, fantasies about what his brother had done to him since childhood. From Rupert's point of view, Leonard was mocking him about the car.
I think that was pretty. He's probably on target there.
Well,
the bumper falling off.
He'll be living in this fucking thing next week.
And Jimmy reflexively drew his gun.
Okay.
And because he lives in the fucking Wild West, and that's just what you do.
Well, it's like stealing a man's horse.
Okay, so he pulls his gun.
So Jimmy's pulled his piece. Mm-hmm. And he would see to it that Leonard never hurt him again. He would finally get the better of the brother against whom he had never quite measured up.
Let's face it, Leonard's an asshole. I know we want to talk about
victims. I think they're a whole family of assholes.
Yeah, they ain't doing this guy any favors.
Well, the kids are into this.
The kids are, the kids
are. They got any kids running around, you know they're assholes.
You know they are.
They're dirty little urchins.
Right, anytime you get more than two together.
Hold on, I'm reading like from War and Peace here.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Let me tell me why.
He would deprive Leonard of life and the lives of those whom he loved. With his back to the kitchen sink, Jimmy fired at his brother Leonard, who fell backwards onto the floor. He then shot his sister-in-law, Alma, and his mother, who lunged toward him in a last futile effort to save her family and her life. Amid screams and chaos, the three children in the kitchen, Ann, David, and Teresa, were next, mercilessly gunned down. And before anybody had a chance to think, let alone escape, Rupert had fired 35 shots, stopping only to reload. He moved into the living room, where he was confronted at the door by the oldest nephew, Leonard III, whose life ended in a barrage of several shots.
Timmy, that's some good writing right there.
Why,
man.
I'm telling you. Why is that funny, Chuck?
Because the poor little motherfucker was out in the yard looking for some Easter eggs.
I know, just
and
a minute
back
ago.
In, he got the one with the, yeah, with no, the $5
we were talking about this earlier.
He was all happy and...
Because you got some kids that are 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
We were talking about what they did earlier. Is he shot them all once to wound them. Right,
and then he goes, I go over that?
Yeah,
as it goes along,
and then he goes back.
So
it
kind of goes along with your script.
Yeah, and then he goes back, yeah, and then he finishes
it away.
Them off.
Okay,
I mean, it's really a smart.
You'll get to that part.
You're ruining your good writing, Tim.
It's really a smart move. Now she screwed up anyway. It's really a smart move.
This is like sitting next to somebody who's already seen the movie.
So Leonard the Third, poor fucker, just coming in because he got 50 cents in his egg. He's very happy, and Uncle Jimmy shoots him. Uncle Jimmy then sat on the sofa and one by one plinked shots at the remaining four children, Michael, Tommy, Carol, and Little John. Why didn't... Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, yes.
He had a little time with Little John. Little John was only four, so he could have taken his time with him.
Well, and here's the other thing, and I'm sorry. Why didn't he... You hear shots going off in the house. Get the... Keep fucking moving.
Yeah, there was no
that's the thing that always amazed me ever
but
since
again,
this happened.
But again,
how you shoot 11 people without one person saying, well, fuck this,
I'm out.
It happened, and I think you'll get to this.
I probably will. Chair,
but it happened all within 5 minutes. So he shot.
Yeah, but they came in because they were outside.
He started shooting them, injuring them, and then he went back and finished them off.
Yes, as you've mentioned.
So,
but weren't they outside?
No, you'll
see where
but weren't the kids outside at one point?
Yeah, but
like,
they were.
I don't believe
eggs.
She needs
they,
to
they
go
killed
to
him
any
in,
further.
They killed him in the house. They were killed in the house. They were killed in the house.
Fucking done.
No.
We gave it all away.
Let's talk about Little John some more.
Go on.
Okay. All right. So he's... plinked off these four other kids. He got up and shot the victims. Said, you know, killed, finished them off. During the rampage, first shot a victim, second through the head. I mean, you all know this because you've heard it six times. A few victims were shot a third time, and one was shot through the heart. It was all over in about 5 minutes. The dead were Charity, his mother, his only brother Leonard, Leonard's wife Alma, and the eight children ranging from the age 4 to 17. A total of 11 deaths. So, Chuck.
Ten of these victims were shot in the head at close range, Brandy.
Fuckers.
One was shot in the chest.
Yeah, I know that. Probably where the heart, you know, when he shot him through the heart.
Yeah.
I bet he did it. I bet that was that one.
Nobody screamed, though. Nobody ran.
I can't believe nobody screamed.
They were shot a total of 35 times. His sick work complete, Rupert then lounged in the house for 3 hours before phoning the local constabulary.
Because there's good ham in there.
Well, he had to have a sandwich.
And it's Easter. Maybe he was doing his own little worshiping deal. And there's ham.
Around 9:30 that evening.
Why did he call the cops?
He called the Hamilton County Police Department. And,
because he's not the smart one.
Yeah, he ain't the smart one, is he?
And he told them there's been a shooting. Rupert, he was leaning short. He was waiting at the door when the police arrived.
Yeah, this is like 3 or 4 hours later.
Still dressed for the holiday in a yellow shirt and white tie and plaid sacks.
Yeah,
socks.
Yeah,
now, if he was shooting people at
plaid slacks,
if he was shooting people at close
75
at close range, he's got to have blood on him.
His clothing was mottled with flecks of blood.
There you go. Thanks,
mottled.
Sorry about that.
Cops stepped past him and could see the degree to which he had understated what he had done.
There was a shooting.
This was
not a
shooting. Yeah. This was a massacre. Police found 5 blood-spattered bodies in the living room and 6 in the kitchen. That's a lot of people in the kitchen. They was wanting some sandwiches, I guess.
It's a ham. There's ham in there.
None of the victims had been tied or restrained in any way, yet the only sign of struggle was an overturned waste paper basket.
Yeah.
You picked that up.
You know what? He probably did that pitching his trash in.
Yeah, he should have straightened up a little bit.
Yeah.
He could have.
Seems kind of
3 hours.
He didn't have 3 hours. I bet he napped.
Now,
is there football on Easter?
They don't give medals or anything for this. You don't get in a Guinness Book of World Record, but it goes down in the crime annals. As the deadliest shooting ever inside a private home. Knees.
Is that in the annals?
In the annals of crime, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Now, as the cops got there, knees buckled. And rescues, they arrived at this disturbing scene with K candy and bright-colored Easter baskets scattered amid the bodies.
Oh, strewn about.
And eggs all over the damn place.
You know what?
Jelly beans.
I bet you know there was some cops grabbing those little Snickers. Because I know if I show up, if you call me away on a Sunday night, Easter Sunday, I'm going to grab me a peep.
All right.
I mean, don't.
Those are nasty. I got a question. Was this house.
Is this about peeps?
No. Okay. Was this house. Did they have neighbors?
It was kind of a rural.
It wasn't? Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that, you know.
I would say you think maybe 35
out of that house.
He was shooting them. I don't know if Timmy got it in here or not. He had two different guns. .357
and
a .22.
I think he had four guns.
But most of his shooting was done with a .22 pistol. Which doesn't make a ton of noise.
If you're in a subdivision.
I mean, he's not shooting anybody with
a
BB gun. No,
he was out in the country.
He wasn't shooting anybody with a BB gun.
Not a BB gun.
Now,
of course, with him shooting all the time, you know, just tin cans down the road, they may just thought it was a normal Sunday.
And there's noises coming out of that place all the time.
Well, they got chickens.
All the fighting and the chickens.
Yeah.
And
Leonard fucking with the Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how noisy that son of a bitch is?
All the wiretapping.
So, Rupert was...
all the communists, homosexuals coming over.
I mean, my God.
Rupert's taken into custody and charged with 11 counts of aggravated murder. Not just regular murder.
Was he really aggravated, though?
I think he was a little aggravated.
At this point, he was very...
Why isn't it capital murder?
I believe they called it agitated murder.
Agitated, okay.
He was agitated.
Just pissed off murder.
Yeah. He refused to talk to the police about the killings and pleaded not guilty by reason of batshit crazy. As news got out about the massacre...
Is BSC a real legal term?
It is.
You don't know.
Great.
What's that?
Continue.
I'm trying.
Right. As news got out about the massacre,
the community of Hamilton went into shock, which is a pretty goddamn hard thing.
I don't know.
If you know Hamilton, you know nothing shocks.
There's a lot of shit that goes down in Hamilton.
That's some shit. That's a shit storm right there is what that is.
Anything crazy happens in this area at Hamilton is where it's happening.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Walmart was like, no, fuck that. We ain't even going into Hamilton.
Right.
People. I don't want no part of that.
Let Kmart keep it.
Yeah. Let Target have it. Yeah. God damn it.
Oh, Target.
There ain't no Target
in Hamilton. So those who knew James Rupert did not think he was capable of violence, especially at the magnitude of this particular massacre.
Well, he couldn't get a Woody.
What?
And he's sickly.
He's a homosexual
cross-dresser. Communist cross-dressing, wheezing.
Interesting dude.
Neighbors considered the Ruperts a nice family. That was wrong.
Yeah, he didn't.
James was arrested and charged again. So he continued to refuse to answer questions by the police and was quite uncooperative.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, he was not cooperative at all. County prosecutor John Holcomb viewed the crime scene and said that there was so much blood on the first floor, it was dripping through the floorboards into the basement, which to this day can be seen on the wood.
Who bought
the
that
wood
fucking
floor,
house?
Which
they sold it several times, and they sold it once without disclosing that the murders happened there.
Oh, yeah, you got to disclose that.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
All four weapons were recovered at the scene. A few days later, services were held for the victims at the heartbreaking funeral. Now, picture this.
Mm-hmm.
11 caskets were lined end-to-end in the aisle of the Rupert's Catholic Church.
It reminds me of
smallest
that.
The Lawson
family.
It does. Yeah. You know, come on. It would have been funny if one would have fell over and tumbled all around.
Like dominoes?
Yeah.
That could have happened in Hamilton, too. You don't know who's trying to pull stuff off the bottom there.
That's a good bit of money right there, having a funeral for 11 people.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. All 11 victims
were buried.
When
he was going for that inheritance, I bet he didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They were all buried now this is important, in Arlington Memorial Gardens in Cincinnati, Ohio.
I didn't put the street address. I was going to put that straight.
It's Compton Road. I can tell you that because my dear brother is interred.
The dead one.
Arlington. Well,
may he rest in peace.
Where's
your dead mother? Is she there too?
My dead mother is at St. Joseph.
Oh, Christ.
May she rest in peace. About her, your dead father.
You got dead people.
My dead father is at
St.
Joseph.
You can't swing a cat.
You can't swing a dead cat without hitting one of Chuck's dead relatives.
My uncle, you mean my brother in law?
Yeah,
got killed. He's at St. Joseph.
May rest in peace.
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
So prosecutors fought hard for felony convictions since he stood to inherit. $300,000.
Which in 1975 was
$300,000.
I mean, that means dollars. It's a lot of money now, but it was probably...
any reason, including insanity.
Yeah, so if he walks, he collects that. Or even if he's found guilty of reason insanity, he collects it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the original trial was held in Hamilton, Ohio. A 3-judge panel found Rupert guilty on all 11 counts of murders and sentenced him to life in prison.
Man, never go with a judge panel. Always go with a jury.
Yeah,
you didn't pass the bar. I'm not taking your advice. But why wasn't he found? Why didn't they give him the death penalty?
Well, motherfucker, I'm trying to read. Why don't you let me get to that for fuck's sake? God,
those of us who know history would know why. But continue, Colonel.
Do you know why, Colonel?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
A mistrial was declared, and it was decided that the retrial would be held in Findlay, Ohio, 100 miles north, because it was
believed... Marathon Gas, I think your headquarters is in Findlay, Ohio.
He could not receive a fair trial in the city of Hamilton.
Tell me more about Findlay, Ohio, Tim.
That's all I know. It's a marathon was there. Marathon Oil.
The university.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please continue. We may have some listeners in Findlay, and they're probably screaming at their computer right now.
If you're on the
Marathon Oil,
if you're from Findlay, will you start a trend, a little topic on the page of what else is interesting about Findlay, Ohio?
In July 1975, he received 11 life sentences.
Yeah. One for each person.
Once again.
One for each person he killed.
Once again, on appeal, a new trial was granted. Defense attorney convinced his client was insane, personally funded the hiring of expert psychiatrists and psychologists from all over the country.
And they come back and said, the psychiatrist, after doing a complete assessment, says, nope, he's not crazy. He's just a gay communist.
He's just an asshole.
So on July 23rd, 1982...
How old are you, Brandy?
I was in second grade.
I was 18 years old.
I was almost two.
A second 3-judge panel found Rupert guilty of first-degree murder in the case of his mother and brother, but this time they found him not guilty on the other 9 counts of murder by reason of insanity.
What? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Because after he killed his brother, mother, and his ex-girlfriend... he went insane.
He was insane. Yeah.
he was grieving. He had loss. Yeah. He was dealing with the loss of his
mother. He couldn't handle the loss of his mother.
He went through all the stages of grief in 5 minutes.
Jesus.
So he received life sentences for each of the 2 charges to be served consecutively rather than concurrently.
Apparently, now, they didn't like kids. I'm guessing they didn't like kids.
We
got
to explain this to the devil.
Okay. Oh, please, yes.
Consecutively means one right after the other, while concurrently means at the same time.
She don't get that. But you need to show her. You need to illustrate it.
Yeah, okay. Let me,
I will punch you in the dick.
Here's 2 lines.
I will punch you straight in the dick.
Okay. Those are concurrent lines, devil. Here are consecutive lines, devil.
Continue, Colonel.
So anyway, because capital punishment had been suspended in the United States because of liberal pansies from 1972 to 1976 as a result of the Supreme Court's decision in Furman versus Georgia, and because the massacre had occurred in 1975, Rupert could not receive the death penalty for his crimes. So what they needed to do was call in for some Colonel Justice.
What they needed to do was hire somebody in the pen to whack his ass.
Or to just,
Fister Miyagi.
Yeah.
Fister Miyagi.
He would have done it.
Yep.
Like a ninja.
You know, I read an article the other day about...
And the ironic thing is he got evicted from the house anyway.
Yeah, he did.
Had to leave.
In June, he was granted a visit before the state parole board at the age of 61, but his 1995, but his release was denied. He would not get another hearing until 2015, at which time he was 81 years old, couldn't even remember what the fuck he was there for.
Or his name.
Was shitting all over himself.
Good. So how old is he now? 82.
He's 82 years old.
Last year he was 81.
Right.
Now, after the Orlando mass shooting in 2016 became the deadliest mass shooting in American history, Rupert's murderous spree dropped to the 10th deadliest massacre in U.S. history.
See, and you know what? As long as he's incarcerated, he's just going farther and farther behind.
Mm-hmm. That's not right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, he can't even catch up.
Yeah.
The Rupert's house was open to the
public. It's kind of one of those things you only get really one shot at it.
Yeah,
you better make it.
You need to make sure.
Or 35 shots.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like entering a home run record. You know what I mean? You say, well, okay, you hit 715, you can retire. You got to continue because there's going to be some asshole come along later on, kill 20 people, 50 people.
Okay, I'm finished.
No, you're not. What about the house?
I don't care about the house.
The house was open to the public.
No, this is interesting.
The house was open to the public, and they auctioned off all of its contents. It was then cleaned and recarpeted, and they rented it to a family new to the area. So rented it to a bunch of noobs who, by mistake, moved to Hamilton.
But they
did not disclose that the murders were there. But the family later left the house due to they thought they heard voices and other noises. Other families, see, now, you could have finished strong here, but I'm going to read this sentence how it's written.
Okay, I was rushing.
Other families have moved in and out, but the house is still occupied.
Okay, so someone's living in it now.
I suppose that's what that means.
Okay, so Brandy, what's your final thoughts on James Rupert, and the Easter Day Massacre?
I think he had all the reason in the world for picking off his family. The kids he could have left alone, unless they were taunting him.
Yeah.
Or maybe,
you know,
maybe it was them fucking with his Volkswagen.
You know the brother was getting the kids involved.
Oh, maybe
you
it was
know
them
he was
fucking
like,
with
hey,
the Volkswagen.
Go fuck with your uncle.
Oh, yeah. You know he was telling them, go fuck with your retarded Uncle Rupert up there.
Yeah.
I get shout-outs first.
James. Casey. You know, they'd say, you're not the boss of me. Boss of me.
Yeah.
And he said, my dad is banging your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my dad has a job. You don't.
They probably didn't say that.
Oh, you know, my dad is banging your girlfriend.
You know what my dad has? You don't. A boner.
Casey, what's your final thoughts on James
Rupert,
the Easter Day Massacre?
I think that I can relate to this guy.
Sounds a lot like our Easter, doesn't it?
It really kind of does.
We fuck with Casey's Volkswagen all the time.
They fucked with my shit all the time.
We tap his phone.
When I was little, Brandy put
dressed him up all the time. But he let us. I think he liked it.
I don't think I'd let you.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, you did. How do you think you kept the oranges down in your dress?
I don't even know about the oranges.
Yeah, you had to hold them there.
This is stuff that I repressed in therapy. So
it'll come out one day, and we'll be doing a podcast on you.
Well, I'm going to try to break his record. I'm going to try to crack into the top.
Yeah. Remember, you don't want to just break it. You want to shatter it.
You need to get way out there.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wait.
My family ain't that big, so we're going to have to wait till we have
some neighbors.
Yeah, we're
going
to have to bring
a reunion or something.
Yeah, get some cousins.
Yeah.
Charles, what's your final thoughts on James Rupert?
I think they had it coming. It's not often I have feel pity for the perpetrator of these dastardly deeds, but I believe these people
had it coming. So you're telling me he dished out Colonel Justice.
Well, you fuck with a man's Volkswagen, you're going one step too far. And I'm going to tell you a story.
Well, no,
used to
no wait a minute, wait a minute.
Racehorse Haynes.
I want to say, you're the one that suggested a story.
I did. I remember this from being a little kid because I always thought, how in the fuck are you going to be the 11th one shot?
Yeah.
If you, after number, well, I, after
being
number,
2 years old, probably.
It doesn't matter. After number four, everybody else got it coming from not getting the fuck out of the house.
I'm out. I'm running.
Yeah.
I'm running.
After they shoot four,
these are kids.
You get the fuck out. I mean, the one in Orlando, okay, nobody knew what was going on.
Or they were stuck in a restroom or whatever.
They were stuck, whatever.
It's a lot
but this, you're
music.
In a house, you a know who's shooting.
Man, I hate
what you
music.
Think? Oh, you know, Uncle James always liked me. He ain't going to shoot me.
That's not true.
He just shot your sister, motherfucker. Get the hell out of the house.
Yeah. And don't say do anything to his Volkswagen.
Yeah, so, and they fucked with his Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And you should not let a man in your house with firearms that owns a Volkswagen.
And who's a gay
That's
communist.
A good life
and
lesson.
Yeah. So,
that
I mean,
a good life
you got to really say.
But, I mean, he was.
And if you've been to Hamilton, and this is, you know, this is going to cause some controversy, I know.
We have some Hamilton listeners.
If you've been to Hamilton.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we
losing 11 of them. ain't really a big deal.
Thinning the herd.
Because even though he worked at GE, the kids were going to grow up to live in, there was going to be assholes.
Well, he had a good job. So. All right. Any shout-outs, Colonel?
I have shout-outs. Wait. Mine first.
Shout-outs. Yes. Brandy, please.
I have shout-outs. Fuck you. I never do my shout-outs first. So, over the weekend, I asked for something. I want to thank everybody. You can thank them too in a minute. Wait your turn. But I have people's names.
Jesus, you can't wait
till next Easter.
You getting your period?
Shit's going down.
So I'm going to read these quickly because we're running out of time. But Jessica Bishop, Scott, Patty Wooten, Amber.
Hold on, motherfucker.
Diane. Cordy Trowbridge.
She just called you a motherfucker.
John Cunningham. Jeff Chestnut. Amy Carol Payne. Timmy. Miss Beverly. Shannon Rossett. Linda Middleton. Jean. Christina Montana. Jennifer Siemens. Cindy Lou. Kim Taylor. Chuck, you jackass. Bree. Michael Birdsall. Clark. Tara. Jennifer Hawkins. Bridget, Nicola, Christine, Donna, Chris, Monica, Elise, Charlie, Tara, I appreciate everybody writing something about that. And I'm going to let Casey talk about that a little bit more. But I appreciate what you guys did. It was very sweet, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I've got to try to follow all that, and I'm not going to remember all the names, but thank you guys. My daughter read most all of those, and she enjoyed
Chucks.
It.
You leave out Chucks.
Huh?
Did you delete Chucks?
No, I didn't delete any of them. And so appreciate everybody who she enjoyed it. She liked it. So thank you guys again. It was awful nice.
I thought it was a good life lesson for the girl. All I said was third place is second loser.
Yes. we didn't let her read that one.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I did not say that.
Any other shout outs, Chuck?
I think I do, but I'm just some people can get two shout outs here because the devil just flew through the
room. Can you go quicker than me?
All right.
Continue. I don't believe I can. Okay, Bree, we missed you the last time. And Tasha Banks, we missed you. Stephanie Quick.
Out there in San Francisco.
Linda Middleton, I don't know why you deserve two, but I'm going to give you one anyway. You traitorous woman. Colin Dietz. Me and him are Facebook friends now. How you doing, buddy? Marvin Hammond and Carol G. Teresa Slavens. Jennifer, and it makes me giggle every time I say this name, Seaman.
She's the one that watches the monkeys masturbate.
She does, your monkey masturbator.
Monkey teaser.
Yeah, your monkey. She does. She walked up, flashed the monkeys. The monkeys throw her the beads and then masturbate. So
I'm not sure that happened.
Acting this out, by the way.
I wish you could see the hand gestures. The hand gestures that went with that was awesome.
No.
So anyway, who we got here? Patty Wooten. Patty Wooten always giving me hell on the page. Michael and Sydney. Brittany Chacon and Chris. If I ever get sick, I want Brittany as my nurse. Celine, congratulations on that new house. Canute, if you're still there, send us an email. Well, we haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah.
We still get downloads Hopefully he's still listening.
Canute and Storm, we hope you're doing well out there. Mary Ray, Lee, Amber, Diane Trowbridge. That's who I was trying to think of the last time. Crazy Trixie. Kirsten Davison, she's new to us. Jessica Williams.
So Kirsten. Uh-huh. Bourgeois.
Davidson. And we got Christy Bourgeois.
Yeah.
Jessica Williams. Trish Hillard. Erica. James Tarantino. Wasn't he on a TV show? Little Sarah Spaghetti. Sarah, they wrote a song about her, didn't they? Sarah Spaghetti.
You're not allowed to sing.
Don't you smile?
No, I'm singing.
Sarah
Smile, I think you're
saying. Yeah. So anyway, John Cunningham. Tommy Boomershine. John Holmes. I know that made the devil's ears perk up. Bond. Jean Bond. Miss Laura O'Reilly. Laura Baba O'Reilly. Chuck Davis. Jeff Appel. Scott. Monica. Donna. And of course, Lady Beverly. And do I even have to say her name? Do I have to say?
Yes, because we got to wrap this up.
Oh, we got to wrap it up?
Yeah.
You got to, all of a sudden, you want to rush, motherfucker, when you're reading her script before she gets to it. 35.
Now he's calling me. You're the only one, Stacey. You're the only one here. It's not.
I got mine earlier in the pot. I got my wrath early with the okay. Opening joke.
Daddy Scott, thank we you. Love you. We only do the show for you.
Thank you. And congratulations, Chuck and Renee, on 29 years of marriage.
29 years. You know what? This
you're gonna
some bitch,
me, aren't
you? Huh?
Nothing.
I ain't done as much time as this motherfucker here, but but
you're looking forward to a couple next Easter.
Well, you know what? I forgot about it, and so did she.
You got married on Michael Jackson's birthday, did mm-hmm. you?
Was it a
wow.
thriller?
Yeah.
You know yeah. what? He would make a perfect thriller now.
Yeah, he
make
would.
A really good video.
I bet he look all.
Probably looks better now than what he did when he was alive.
Can I help you?
I'm looking at you. You're strolling through Facebook. And
so, Casey, where can people find us?
Facebook. iTunes. Sorry, I went blank there. iTunes, Facebook.
Yeah, please leave us a review if you go on iTunes. We got two pages on Facebook, one History Dweebs, and then we have one where we interact with all the listeners, and that's History Dweebs, the podcast. It's a group, so check it out. Join us, and that's where a lot of folks that we've named, that's where a lot of them interact with us.
Interact, so. And you know, that. Well, let me. I missed a couple people, some very important ones.
All right.
Sponsors, Alicia and Chip, Cindy Lou, Bridget, Jahara. Mm-hmm. But you know what I found out about this? You cannot make one comment on our page without some deviant pervert, and I'm going to go with Jessica Williams on this one. As an example, mm-hmm. turn it into a double entendre sexual thing.
It's hard to believe.
You I know.
Ever do that.
Shocker, right?
Yeah.
See, now if you just said shocker, somebody will make a comment. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So that's it for this show. And we'll see y'all again next time on History Dweebs. So long, everyone.
Bye.
Why, bang.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.